Amen. That was a blessing. Amen. Thank you very, very much. I've enjoyed all the good music here and the good congregational singing, special music, and I've just been encouraged and blessed. I've enjoyed the preaching, all three messages, Brother, that he's preached here, Brother Arthur's preached. You say three? Yeah, he preached one to me on the way over here, you know, so got all three of them. Encouraged. I mean that. It's a blessing. I needed the messages, and how God used that has really been a blessing. So I just want to say thanks to this church. Brother Weaver, appreciate the opportunity to come and preach and to be here. And today even got smoked meat for lunch. It was a good day. I'm still smelling the smoked meat on my fingers. Man, that's good. We had a good time. Had a good time. Well, take your Bible tonight and turn to Genesis 25, if you would, please. We'll just start there once again. Genesis 25. Appreciate the message that we just heard out of Mark. And how that the Savior pillows his head. My youngest son heard that story, Brother Arthur, in his Sunday school class, and he thought the teacher said, Jesus stood and said to the winds and the waves, said, please, please be still. Instead of peace, be still. But I'm glad that Jesus doesn't have to beg the wind and the waves. He just says, peace, be still. Sometimes he does calm the storm, but sometimes he calms his child in the storm, and I'm thankful that he can do both. Well, if you found your place in Genesis 25, would you stand in honor of God's Word? We're just going to start there tonight. And then our text is actually going to be Genesis 32. So Genesis 25, and then we'll turn over to Genesis chapter number 32. How God tunes a man. How God tunes a man. Last night we considered this thought, are you in tune with God's will? Are you in tune with God's will? We all agree tonight that we need to be in God's will, need to be in tune with His will. And I believe we would all agree about this as well, that it's easy for us to get out of tune with God's will. I'm very prone, I believe we all are very prone to get out of tune with God's will. And the way that we get out of tune with His will is we start doing what we want to do. Look at Genesis 25 now, if you would, and we'll notice in verse number 24, we'll just start there, 25, 24, and when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red all over like an hairy garment. And they called his name what? Esau, which means red. Red. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob, which means heel grabber. They thought that was cute. Look, he grabbed his heel. Called him heel grabber. Well, for the next several years, he's going to be the heel grabber. God's going to have to go to work at his life. The boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, and a man of the field. Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. We said that last night, that's Hebrew for mama's boy. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved her heel grabber. She loved Jacob. Now turn over, if you would, please. I know that we're turning many pages in the Bible, and I'm going to try with God's help to tie these passages together. But I want you to notice in chapter number 32 and verse number 24, chapter 32 and verse 24, it says, and Jacob, the heel grabber, the manipulator, the conniver, Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou what? Bless me. Did you see that? Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. Now, who has the ability to bless? God. Jacob was wrestling with God. Have you ever wrestled with God? I believe Jacob had been wrestling with God for 20 years plus. Wrestling with God. If you've wrestled with God, how'd that go for you? Look what it says in verse number 27. And he, God, said unto him, Jacob, what is thy name? And he said, heel grabber. He said, Jacob. Now watch this. Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. There must be some significance to that name. And there is. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou hast asked after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And he passed over Peniel, the sun rose, and as he did, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. And thus the rest of his life, Jacob is going to walk with a limp. He needed that limp to be reminded of who he was. I want to preach to you tonight about the essential change to be in God's will. The essential change. How God tunes a man. The essential change to be in God's will. May God bless the reading of his word. As you're seated, we'll get into the message here tonight. A few years back, my family and I had occasion to go up north of town, and we were at an arena. And there a man preached an illustrated message. It was called Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount. It's a little bit of a play on words. He was on horseback. And thus, Sermon on the Mount. Everybody with me? Got that? Sermon on the Mount. And so what he did is he had a round pin out in the middle of this arena, and he said, for the next 40 minutes to an hour, I'm going to work on this horse that's never been rode. He said, you're just going to have to take my word on it that this horse is a Mustang. It's a wild horse. It's never been rode, and I'm going to work to get this horse's attention. And so the horse came out, and they had the horse as a young filly in this corral, maybe a 40-foot in diameter corral. And he was in the middle of that corral, and she was as far from him as she most possibly could be, up against the edge of that pen, those metal bars forming that round pen. She was as far from him as she most possibly could be. And then he said this. He said, right now, she thinks that her greatest sense of usefulness and fulfillment is somewhere out there. I'm going to go to work to try to show her that her greatest sense of fulfillment and her greatest ability of usefulness is not somewhere out there, but it's under my authority. I thought, well, here we go. Let's see that. I grew up in Kentucky, and so and my dad worked with horses a little bit, so we did some trail riding and breaking horses, and I've been broke by horses is kind of how that really went, and so I wanted to see how this guy was going to do this within an hour's amount of time, as he proposed. And so he began to work, and it went something a little bit like this. He had just a long whip, and without hitting the horse, he just began to get that horse's attention, and he popped the whip on this side, and then he popped the whip on this other side, and every time he popped the whip, that horse would turn away from it. And then he'd pop the whip again over here, and he'd go, hey! Hey! You with me? Hey! Hey! Just like that. A solid 20 minutes. I thought, what in the world have we come to see? Every time this horse See, he'd pop the whip over here, she'd turn her way. He'd pop it over there, she'd turn away, and just all the time, as far from him as she could go. Hey! 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 How about I do that for about 20 minutes? He did that, and finally I watched it, and she finally stopped, and she did this. She looked at him with one eye, looked back at him, and then she turned away, and here we went again. Hey! Hey! I kid you not. Solid, just like that. Finally, I'm going to have to hurry things along a little bit here for the sake of time. Finally, she stopped and she looked at him with her whole face. And then she turned away and here we went again. Hey! Hey! He just stuck with it though. Hey! Hey! Finally, I watched her do something I've never seen a horse do before in my life. She stopped, she turned and looked at him, and she walked to him. He held out his hand, and he began gently to let her get used to him. And every now and then in the course of the next, now, approximately 30 minutes, she'd get away from him. Here we go again. Hey! Hey! And she'd come to him, and he got her used to the blanket, put it up on her back. Got her used to the saddle, put that saddle up on her back. Gently strap that saddle up. And then very gently put one foot in that stirrup through the other leg very, very slowly. Now, when I did it back in Kentucky, it was and holding on for dear life. You know what I mean? But I watched him as he just very gently put that leg over the saddle, got the other stirrup. She offered to buck one time, and then I watched her do something I've never seen a horse do. She just walked off with him on her back. I couldn't believe it. But he was patient to get her attention. You know what God's been doing in the life of Jacob? Jacob, God had been working. Hey, Jacob. Hey, what's your name? Heel grabber. Hey, hey, what'd you do with your brother's birthright? Hey, I tricked him out of it. Hey. Right now, 20 years prior, Jacob thought his greatest sense of usefulness and his greatest sense of satisfaction was somewhere out there doing what he wanted to do, but God, who is very God, was at work, hey, getting his attention. Hey, Jacob, getting his attention. And through circumstances, in fact, what he did is he found a young lady that he liked. I mean, he really liked it. Love at first sight. He said, I'm going to marry her. And he talked to her daddy about that. And he said, what's it going to take for me to marry this young lady? He said, I'll make a deal with you. You work with me, work for me for 7 years, and you can marry this young lady. He worked 7 years at that time. And then he said, well, can I go ahead? And they were going to have their wedding. And he found out that next morning it was not her, but it was her older sister, Leah, who was not as good looking. It's called poetic justice. What goes around, comes around. He said to Laban, Laban, you deceived me. You tricked me. He said, I agreed to work with you so that I could marry your younger daughter named Rachel. He said, we don't do that around here in our country. In our country, we give preference to the elder. And so now he's got to work another 7 years for the elder. But wasn't that exactly what Jacob did back home as he stole the birthright from his elder brother Esau? And then now he's tricked his father in getting the blessing his way. I'm submitting to you tonight that he is rightly named heel grabber, working things out in his own way. And so for the next 14 years, hey, God's working. Hey, getting his attention. 6 more years pass. Laban has changed my wages 10 times. Hey, Jacob, how do you like it? Hey, God was letting him get a dose of his own medicine. Finally, the time came. God said, Jacob, it's time to go back. Time to go back. But I want to thank God that God, even when Jacob was on the run, remember that last night, a man on the run ran into God on a mission. Out there in the middle of nowhere, and the ladder descended from heaven, indicating that God was very interested in this man's life. And I just want to pause right here and say, thanks be to God who cares so much about your life and cares so much about my life that through the word preached, he says, hey, has God been doing that in your life? Hey, pay attention. Maybe he uses a trial to get your attention. And you know what you and I are inclined to do? Turn away from him. And turn away from him. And turn away from him. Even to our own hurt, we turn away from him, but he just keeps working. He just keeps working to try to get you to a place where he can bless you, to try to get you to a place, young person, where he can use you. But he's got to go to work, and I want to thank God that he is the relentless God who relentlessly works in our life to get our attention. Now God says to Jacob, Jacob, it's time to go back home. It's time to go back to Bethel, the place where he had been there with God and God had manifested himself to him. The only problem with going back to his homeland, last he knew, his brother had posted that when my brother comes back and my daddy's dead, my brother's a dead man too. That's the last he knew from Esau. Remember that? That's the last he knew. He's fearful about going back to the land. You know why? Because his brother Esau is there. So I want to illustrate this here just a moment. I asked Brother Weaver if it'd be all right if I used a couple of the men on the staff that I've been able to get to know. So Brother Tyler, I hadn't even talked to him about it, but I know they'll be willing. Isn't that right, men? Pastor said you've got to. So that's what we'll do. So Brother Tyler, Brother Andrew, if y'all don't mind to come here. So how about we come up here on the platform so everybody can see here. Just to illustrate this a little bit here. So let's go, Brother Tyler, right over here. Brother Andrew, we're good friends. Yeah. What we have here is Jacob and Esau twins. How we doing? We got red. Esau, it's worked out just right. Just right. And we've got the smooth man. Mama's boy. I shouldn't have too much fun with this, but we're going to. Last thing he knew, his brother had said, you ever come back here, you're a dead man. He's a hunter? A Cabela's man? And he knows how to track animals down. Don't you know he knows how to track people down? Last thing he knew, if I come back in the land, I've got to face my brother. 20 years. 20 years later, Jacob, the heel grabber, the smooth operator, the manipulator, the conniver, the liar, the cheat, the fugitive. How we doing? Pretty rough, isn't it? The last thing he knew was, I've still got to face my brother. He's fearful about it because his brother's made a legitimate threat against his life. So, Tyler, I'm going to let you be seated, and we're going to keep Brother Jacob up here for a little while. The book of Genesis chapter 32 begins as Jacob is there. He looks up into the sky, and there is all the angelic host of God. You check it out later. It's a beautiful picture. The host of heaven. You see him? Okay, good. Thank you. The host of heaven is there. Remember the last time Jacob was out in the middle of nowhere? The ladder. The angels of God ascending, descending. Indicating that God was very involved in his life. And now here's the whole host of God. Hey, I just want to thank God that God was manifesting to Jacob. Jacob, I'm still very involved in your life. I know that you're fearful. I know that you're concerned about going back. But I want you to know, I'm very much in charge. He calls the name of that place Mahanaim. Mahanaim means this, two camps. God's camp and my camp. God's camp, God's host, and my host. Because now, 20 years later, he has four wives. Hello. That's a lot of sandals in the tent closet. 4 wives. 2 official, 2 other handmaids, Bilhah, Zilpah, Leah, Rachel. You talk about drama in the home. 4 women, 11 sons, 1 daughter. That's a mix for drama. Talk about a reality TV show. It'd be right there. This is this man's life. Just stating the facts. God's host, my host. Jacob does this. He sends out a messenger to go ahead of him and to see if he could find his brother Esau. The messenger comes back and he says, I found him. I found Esau. And he's not alone. Really? Yes. 400 men with him. He's got a militia. My host. God's host. Jacob does this. He prays. That's good. He prays, God, you're the one that told me to go back. You ever done that? God, you're the one that got me into this. You're going to have to be the one to get me out of this. See, Jacob is still Jacob. Jacob is still working and pulling strings. Jacob is still manipulating. Jacob is still doing what Jacob does best. There's a little bit of a mixture of faith here where he's crying out to God and saying, God, save me. But at the same time, he gets together a big gift, 550 animals to send to his brothers. Listen, my friend, that's a big gift. That's a lot of money. And he's sending that to Esau to say, I love you. You get what he's doing? He's trusting God, but at the same time, he's still working things out himself. He's still the hill grabber. He's still the conniver. He arranges his family. He has things arranged in this way. You check it out in chapter 33. Zilpah, Bilhah, your kids, up front. You check it out. It's in there. Leah, you're next. Rachel, baby, you're back here with me. You know what he's doing? He knows that if Esau attacks, he'll take them and them and Leah. But I'm keeping her and we're running. He's still working things out. They're on one side of the river. He's on the other side. He's bedded down for the evening. It's dark. He's by a river named Jabbok. His name is Jacob, and he's by a river named Jabbok. Jabbok means emptying. Emptying, because the waters would run off the mountains and it would empty down into the river as it would go out. And so he's at a place of emptying. But I believe tonight that there was more emptying going on than just water from mountains. I believe there was a God who was at work still in this man's life saying, hey, Jacob, do you think you can handle this? Hey, Jacob, you're about to face Esau. Are you ready to face Esau? Are you ready to face your future? Not until you're empty. Dark. You've been out in the woods at night when it's dark. Been coon hunting as a boy growing up in Kentucky. We'd go through some of those old graveyards in the middle of the night. Back when you had survival knives. I mean, I had that and I was ready. At 8 years old, whatever was coming out, I was going after. Scared to death in the middle of the night. Here's Jacob. Middle of the night. It's dark. Families on the other side. He's there all by himself. And in the middle of the night, somebody jumps him. Thank you. Yeah. I asked your preacher if you had a bad back. He said you didn't, but I hope you don't after this too. So, in any case, somebody jumps him. Wait a minute. Stop right there. Stop the scene. Who do you think he thought that it was? Esau? No doubt, and thus they were wrestling. You ready? Let's wrestle. Just like, and so they were wrestling. Oh, that's pretty good. They were wrestling. He, no doubt, at first, no doubt he was trying to get loose. Why? He thought it was Esau. You okay? I'm fine. Yeah. Don't try this at home, kids. No doubt he thought, the worst thing that could ever happen
has happened to me just now. And he was trying to get free from it. But then he realized, after they'd been wrestling a while, he realized that it was not Esau. How did he know it wasn't Esau? Maybe he felt the back of his hands. Maybe he felt the back of his neck. Not near enough hair there to be Esau, brother. He realized it wasn't Esau. But then he realized, wait a minute, this is not Esau. And he said, I'm not going to let you go until you what? Bless me. He realized he was wrestling with God. Now I want to ask you something. At any time, could God just have thumped him and laid him out? I guarantee you at any time, boy, I love to wrestle, not just wrestle, but wrestle with my boys. You know what I'm talking about? I've got three boys, and they need to be wrestled by their daddy. I'm talking about drop kick, DDT, pile driver, suplex, body slam, all in daddy love. I'll pick them up, but every now and then, you know, I'll just be wrestling with them. I'll act like, you know, they're really getting me good. My now a 6-year-old, my 13-year-old, he's getting a little bit tough, but I can still take him anytime, any place. If he's watching this right now, bring it. But that 5-year-old, sometimes I'll act like, you know, he'll haul off and hit me, and I'll go, boom, oh, you got me. And then he'll jump off the couch, bam, and oh. But then at any time, I can start to shake. Daddy, it's coming alive, and then it's suplex, bam, pick him up. Suplex, bam, I do it about 3 or 4 times. Because I love him. Hey, listen. At any time, as they were wrestling, God could have just taken him out. But did you notice what God did? He asked him, what is thy name? Do you know why? Because Jacob needed to acknowledge who he was. And he said, I am Jacob. For the last 20 plus years, I've been working things out in the power of my own might, using the power of my own wisdom and ability to plan and to be shrewd and to do things. And for 20 plus years, his name had been Jacob. He'd been living up to his name. And then God did this. The Bible says that he touched the hollow of his thigh. Now what? strictly a wrestling move. He either could have just simply touched the hollow of his thigh, or the word also has the idea that he nailed him. So however it was, he hit him in the hollow of his thigh, and what happened? He went down, go down, go down, go down. Good, okay, good. Right there, you saw it. He's down. Now wait, in this position, like this, like this, like this. Other leg. That's the one that's hurt, remember? This is getting way out of hand, isn't it? Hey, listen. Any wrestler understands that it's not the upper body strength. I didn't wrestle. You can look at me and tell that I didn't do that. But I do understand that a man's strength is in his legs. And if he can get low and lower than the other man in the center of gravity and such, he can take a big man out. You see a good running back, he's not running headstrong. He's getting low, isn't he? And maybe going heads up with somebody and breaking tackles here and there. But he's getting low. He's got to get low. And his source of strength, just those big thighs as we're running through there, that's his source of power. Does he have upper body strength? Oh, sure, no doubt about it. But his real source of strength is in his legs. It's in his thighs. Here's what God did. God took out his source of strength. Because for God to use you, he's got to take out your source of strength so that it would not be your strength and your power and your wisdom and your ability, but rather that it might be His. And for the rest of his life, he's going to walk with a limp to remember that it's not my power, but it's God's power that's got to be at work in my life. The change that is essential for you and for me and anybody else to be in God's will is to be in a place of humility. A place where you recognize that I am not sufficient, but He is. You've got to change from a place of being self-sufficient to being in a place of being God-sufficient. And He says, your name is no longer Hillgrabber or Jacob, but your name is Israel. El, short form of Elohim. Isra means fight. You put it together, God fights. Hallelujah right there. Why? Because they did not need to be the children of Jacob, though oftentimes they acted like the children of Jacob. But rather, they needed to be known as the children of the God who fights for His people, the children of Israel. And thus, the descendants of Jacob, the descendants of Israel, needed to know that when God said, I want you to go around the walls of Jericho 7 days, and on the seventh day I want you to go around 7 times and shout and blow the trumpets. Listen, they needed to know that it was not them and their military might that could do that, but rather that it was God in heaven who could knock those walls down. Israel. And as that young boy stood out on that battlefield, and he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of Israel? He was saying, we've got a power that's above His. And he took that little sling and that stone, and he wound it up, and he let her fly. And did you notice which way that Goliath failed? He did not fall backwards, but rather he fell face first. Why is that? I believe it may have been God from behind that smacked him upside the back of his head so that he went, bam! I can't prove that, but it sure makes for good preaching. I do know this for sure. It was not the children of Jacob that was going to bring about God's will and fulfill His purposes and enjoy His blessings. But it had to be Israel who enjoyed His blessings and fulfilled His purposes. And tonight, if you're going to be used of God and you're going to enjoy all the blessings that I believe God has for you, you've got to get in a position similar to what He's in to get low. And sometimes, folks, the things that seem to be the worst things that could ever happen in your life can turn out to be the best things. When that financial situation comes on you, or that health situation comes on you, or that relationship situation comes on you, and it seems like this is the worst thing that could ever happen, it could turn out to be the very best thing. Because it brings you to a place where you say, God, I can't, but I trust that You can. Thank you, my friend. Who's fighting your battle? Who's fighting your battles tonight? Pastors, we know this here, don't we? We know this. We can't accomplish God's will in our own strength and wisdom and ingenuity, and no matter how many seminars we go to and how many books we read, listen, it's all right here in the power of the book and the power of the God, listen, to lead us. But how many times do we act more like Jacob than like Israel? I want to thank God that God goes to work getting our attention, saying, hey, hey, get back in a position of humility. Parents, listen tonight. How can you, in a world as such we live, how can you raise a godly seed to live for God and enjoy and know the blessings of God on their life? How can you do that? Listen, it's not going to be in your own power and strength. it's going to be you as a parent, as you get low, to say, oh, dear God, would you please protect my child? Would you please give us wisdom? Would you please give us help? Oh, God, please, the world is strong against us, but we know that you're greater still. Hey, listen, you ought to get in a place of humility before God and cry out to him and say, oh, God, I can't do it, but I know that you can. Hey, listen, husbands and wives, how is it that marriage is going to work? It's not going to be by Dr. So-and-so that's on TV at 4. No, my friend, it's by God showing you what to do and you getting in a place of humility where you acknowledge what you need from him to give to your spouse. Hey, listen, everything in life has everything to do with what we're talking about tonight. It has everything to do with the God who is and the fact that you are not him and you need him desperately. They, being ignorant of even God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Listen, the very way that you and I are saved is the same way that we are to live. It's by grace that we are saved, but it's also by God's grace that we live. Why do people continue in sin week after week after week? I'll tell you why. Because in many ways they're trying to do it in their own power, when really what they need to do is get on their face before God and ask God to give them the grace and help and strength, and to realize, I can't even do this without God's help. We were in a church service where a new church was being organized. Lighthouse Baptist Church up in Edmond, Oklahoma. Russ Bishop, pastor. 2-hour service. I had my little 2-year-old with me. 2-hour service. 2-year-olds don't jive. They don't mix real well. I was trying to entertain him every way that I knew how. Had a pen and paper. Took that pen, took my hand over his hand, and we wrote his name, T-R-E-V-O-R, Trevor. He looked back at me and said, that's my name. I said, that's right, son. He said, let's do it again. And I took my hand over his hand, and we wrote T-R-E-V-O-R, Trevor. He said, that's my name. I said, hey, bud, let's do it again. I mean, come on, we had another 30 minutes probably. I said, hey, bud, let's do it again. He said, no, me do it. As only a 2-year-old can say. Anybody else with me here? No, me do it. I said, no, buddy, let daddy help you. No, me do it. And he did like this. Trevor, that's my name. Yeah, good job, right? I said, hey, buddy, come on, let's do it. Let's do it again. Let daddy help you. He said, no, me do it. Me do it. Trevor, that's my name. How many times does God say, let me take care of your finances? And you say, no, God, me do it. Me buy a boat. Me buy motor, me buy car, me no tithe, me buy house, me buy this, me buy that. God, me do it. And you look at what you've got, and you've got a big old mess. Some young man sees some young lady, and he says, wow, wow, wow. He's excited about her. God says, no, let me guide you, let me show you. And he says, no, me do it. Me man, me find woman, me marry her. We have good life. Big old mess. I had a girlfriend in the 8th grade. She was my girlfriend for a whole month. That's a record in the 8th grade. Had flowers for her on Valentine's Day. On Valentine's Day, she dumped me. I was tore up. Gave the flowers to somebody else, but still I was tore up. That seemed like, at that time, the worst thing that could have ever happened to me in the 8th grade. She was a beautiful young lady, a cheerleader, and she was my girlfriend, and I had hair. It was a great time. And she dumped me. But I look back on it now, and I believe you understand what I'm saying, that which seemed to be the worst thing turned out to be the best thing. Because then God began a process of getting my attention. And He got my attention through a young lady in our public high school, who was also our public junior high school, who also went to our church, who happened to be my youth pastor's daughter. She had a godly testimony in our eighth grade homeroom class. And she invited me to go to my church. To a Bible club on a Thursday afternoon, she invited me to go to my own church. And God was getting my attention. I started going to youth rallies and participating in Bible clubs and Bible quizzes and such. And one time after a youth rally, went to McDonald's, because I think it's just one of the fundamentals of the faith for youth groups that you just go to McDonald's after you go to a youth rally. And so there we were, and I was about to order, and I was standing beside a brown-haired, brown-eyed girl talking about the Bible quiz that we both were in. And it's like God spoke to me there in McDonald's, of all places, and said, "You need to get to know this girl." And I said, "Yes, sir, can do, will do, glad to." And God, who is God, and as I began to let Him guide my hand, He wrote the name A-N-G-I-E. She's my wife. And we've been married now for 16 years. We have three boys, Tyler, Trevor, Trenton, and we even have a dog named Tucker. Life is good. I'm telling you. But at a certain point in my life, maybe you can relate with this, I thought somehow my greatest sense of fulfillment and satisfaction was somewhere out there doing what I wanted to do. I'm thankful for the Word, and I'm thankful for the God of the Word, who worked to get my attention to say, "No, sir, your greatest sense of fulfillment and usefulness is not out there doing what you want to do, but it's under my authority." And that same God is at work in your life. And I'm asking you tonight, are you in tune with His will? If not, here's what you need to do. Come and humble yourself before Him and say, "God, I've been out of your will, but would you help me?" He's the God who can. Would you stand tonight, every head bowed and eye closed? Appreciate the way that you've listened here this evening. The one change that is necessary for you to be in a place of God's will is for you to leave the place of self-sufficiency to come to the place where you trust Christ and His sufficiency. Are you wrestling against God? There may be some area in your life, even tonight, where you know what it is. And others might even know, but for sure God does and you do. And you've been wrestling against God. I wonder if you'll come tonight and humble yourself before Him. It may be that somebody's here tonight lost, in need of Christ. He died in your place, my friend. He fought a battle that you could never win. And He'll save you tonight if you'll come and humble yourself before Him. If you are saved tonight, I invite you to come, just to find a place of humility to come before Him. Father in heaven, I want to thank You that You worked so diligently to get our attention. Thank You for the way that You use the Word preached, people's examples, testimonies, trials, songs, various events of life, to get our attention, to bring us to a place where You can both bless and use. And I know, dear God, that that incident, as You wrestled with Jacob, did not completely change him, but it certainly brought a significant amount of change and a process to his life. And I want to thank You, God, that You don't give up on us. And so tonight I pray that You'd help us to have a humble heart, to come and get low before You. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing tonight.